Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to continue our teaching on the ministry gifts and their purpose. Again, the ministry gifts and their purpose. So if you found Ephesians 4, we're going to read verses 11 through 16. And it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or teaching by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking in the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, last week, we started teaching on the purpose of the ministry gifts that God set in the church that we read in Ephesians 4:11. And now we want to complete our teaching on this subject by identifying, explaining, and discussing the reason why God set these gifts in the body of Christ for its use. Now, we know our Heavenly Father is a God of order, and He is not the author of confusion, and He has a purpose for everything He does. So these ministry gifts serves a purpose. Now, let's begin with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, and list the reason why these gifts were given to the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:12 says this: for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, number one, we find out the reason these ministry gifts were given were for the equipping of the saints. For the equipping of the saints. Now, that word equipping means to furnish or to supply. Again, it means to furnish or supply. So these ministry gifts are furnishing and supplying the body of Christ with its needs to do the work of the ministry. When we furnish and supply the church with its necessary needs, then we can bring the body of Christ into harmony within its body. Amen. Now, please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to read verse number 10. And it says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Amen. So we see here one reason, again, these ministry gifts are given is that we might be equipped and furnished so we, as the body of Christ, can be in the same manner, speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among us. So the question might be asked, are we all speaking the same thing as a body of Christ? The answer is certainly not. Now, it's very interesting that we don't all speak the same thing because the word says the same thing. Why is it that some say that the way to be baptized is that you have to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Then others say you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We have to speak the same thing. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to read verse number 8. And it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now please go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6. And it says this, for I am the Lord, and I do not change. So we see here where it in two places. It says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he says he is the Lord, and he do not change. So then if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if he does not change, then why do we change? Why do the body of Christ change and some say one thing and another say another. It's very interesting how we can't get on one accord. Amen. That we all speak the same thing and that there's no divisions among us. Satan is in the midst of that, and we have to be careful of his devices. Amen. So we have to understand what he does and how he doesn't, so we can be built up, equipped, and furnished with the things of Christ, so we can all speak the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "And the Lord God said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever. He is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And then if we go to the book of Psalm 90, verse 10, it says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Now, you know, I bring these two particular verses up because I had a friend who lost his son recently, and the son was 41 years old. And I was speaking with him, and I told him, I said, "Well, you know what? Your son died too young." Now, his son was a Christian. He was a believer. And he answered me this way. He said, "Well, John," he said, "that sure, his son died. But anytime you know the Lord, it's a good day to go be with the Lord." Well, that's not necessarily true. It is a good day to go with the Lord if you know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. And his son did. But he still died too young. That's why I mentioned these two verses to him, because the scripture says that we should all say the same thing. Sure, his son knew the Lord, but he was only 41 years old. The scripture says, "With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation." So then by his father saying that it was a good day for his son to go be with the Lord. No, that's not so. That's not so. I understand that thinking, but he was only 41 years old. His assignment was not up here on this earth. Amen. And so we have to say the same thing. I understand that he was grieving, and maybe we discussed that at the time when he was in his grieving atmosphere. And if I probably talk to him now, he might be changed, but we should speak the same thing. Sure, his son was saved. Sure, it's a good day to go be with the Lord because you are saved, you're Christian, and you know him. But 41 years old is not long life. Amen. God never intended for our bodies to see corruption. We were designed and created to live forever. Amen. If Adam had never been disobedient, we would be living forever. Amen. So we should all speak the same thing. Amen. Now, what is another purpose of the ministry gifts? And in verse number 12, again, it says, "For the equipping of the saints," and then "for the work of the ministry." For the work of the ministry. You know, when I enrolled into MTI, which is Ministry Training Institute in Los Angeles, California, we had a student interview with the dean of the school that we were attending. And one of the first things he said that vividly impressed me was that ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. Ministry is work. But it's a good work when you know the Lord and when you feel with the Holy Spirit and you allow the Holy Spirit to assist you in the assignment that God has given to you. The equipping of the saints is for the work that is required of us as laborers for Christ. Please go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17. And it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. First of all, these ministry gifts are for the equipping of the saints. And then it says for the work of the ministry. So we are to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's interesting that that verse said good work, because that means that we can have some bad works. Amen. But God wants us to have good works in everything that we do. Amen. When you are in the perfect will of God and you allow the Holy Spirit to assist you in doing your assignment, then the work is good work. Amen. The idea of equipping is the preparation of the church so that it will fully qualify for good works for the Lord. Amen. See, we want to qualify for good works. Everything we do, we want it to be good. Amen. Then it says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And then the third purpose is for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So these ministry gifts, these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they were for, number one, the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, edifying simply means to build up, to strengthen, and to construct. Let me repeat that. Edifying simply means to build up, to strengthen, and to construct. These ministry gifts are to build up the body of Christ, the church, so that it develops edification that constructs a church that is a mature in the word and action. We want to be mature in the word, or understanding of the word, and in action. Amen. You know, the scripture tells us, for we walk by faith, and that is an action. Notice I said in the word and action. So that means in the understanding and the knowledge of the word and in its application in your lives. Now remember, faith without works is dead. So applying both word and action develops edification. Let me repeat that. Remember, faith without works is dead. So applying both word and action develops edification. Now, please go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to read verse number 12. And it says, even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Amen. Now, that word zealous is a very interesting word because it means passionate, dedicated, sincere, and single-minded. So when you are passionate for the things of God, that means you are dedicated, you are sincere, you are passionate, and you're single-minded to understand the things of Christ so you may be a light to this dying world. Amen? I want you to notice something that is very subtle, though, that's in this verse. And it says this. It says, even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Now, again, let's read it one more time, because I want you to know something very subtle in this verse. It says, even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to assail. Well, what's really subtle in this verse is the edification of the church that you seek to excel. The edification of the church. And it means that we need to make sure that when we are studying the Word of God and being taught the Word of God by these ministry gifts, it's for edification of the church. Edifying the body of Christ. Did you get it? In this verse, the focus is on the body of Christ, not the individual. It says that the edification of the church, not the edification of the individual. See, when the individual is edified and he's passionate and he's dedicated and he's sincere and he's single-minded, then the combination of all the body of Christ will come together and we'll excel in the church for the edification of the church, and that's the total body. So he's talking about the body of Christ, not the whole church, rather than the individual. Here, the idea is the body of the church, so that it becomes spiritually strong, and that's what we want. We want a spiritually strong church. Sure, there's going to be individuals that's going to be more advanced in their study than others, but when we edify the total body of church of Christ, then it's going to be strong. The total body is going to be strong. Amen. The thought is of spiritual construction. The idea is to construct the believer and the church into a strong body in maturity before God. Amen. That's the idea or the purpose. Let me repeat that. The idea is to construct the believer and the church into a strong body in maturity before God. Paul uses the word for the church as a construction by God. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read verse number 9. It says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Amen. So we are God's fellow workers to edify each other, to build each other up. Amen. Edifying is also used figuratively of the establishment and the increase of a Christian community known as the house that God built and established. Amen. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read verse number 5. And it says, "You also, as living stones, are built up by a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Amen. So we are living stones. Amen. And we are built up to form a spiritual house, a holy priesthood that is worthy, amen, and acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The body of Christ is a whole, as a whole, needs spiritual construction to reach maturity. Amen. And we're talking about the whole body of Christ, not individually, but the whole body of Christ. Then we have number D. And we're talking about the purpose of these ministry gifts. And then we go to verse number 13, and it says, "Until we all come into the unity of the faith." Until we all come into the unity of the faith. You know, God would never tell us to do something that we could not do. He would be an unjust God if he gave us an assignment and he already knew that we couldn't do it. It's like your natural father and mother here on earth. They would never tell you nothing to do, and they know that you couldn't do it. But God says here, till we all come to the unity of the faith. So that lets me know that we can all come to the unity of the faith. The reason why we don't is very simple. It's because we don't want to. God is telling us that we can all come into the unity of the faith. You know, and I stand corrected, but I have never read anywhere where God has told his children to do something that he knew they couldn't do. So another purpose of these ministry gifts is for the unification of the faith, united as one. God said that we all come into the unity of the faith. Well, you know what? I am just about out of time for today's teaching. But please, please join us next week when we will continue our teaching on the purpose of the ministry gifts. And we will share some more information in regards to the purpose. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It simply says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.